Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering.
It's a great weekend for the beach, mostly sunny, 85 to 90 Saturday, 88 to 93 on Sunday, cooler at those beaches.
And that is WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein tempting us with beach weather. But going to the beach has become a lot more complicated this year with social distancing rules, parking lots filled to capacity, and some public beaches limiting or restricting access for non-residents. What has been your experience? Have you had to wait in a long line to find parking? Has your favorite spot limited access this year? Are you worried about crowds at beaches because of the pandemic and maybe you're not going to go, even if it's the only way you can stay cool this summer? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So let's talk now to a community struggling with how to strike the right balance. We have with us Safatia Romeo Taken, the mayor of Gloucester, who joins us now. Mayor Taken, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. I don't know if it's
Mayor Taken, I'm hearing
today
a little echo back. Yeah. I wonder if you could turn off anything you might have in the background.
I have nothing on in the background, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. It might be on my end. So, Mayor Taken, what was that first thing you said? You don't know if it's beach weather today?
Yeah. You know what? We did have people at the beach today, and I'm sure that, you know what? They got your weather. They say, listen to your radio show, and it's right on spot. I'm sure they're safe.
Yeah. Well, last weekend, people did go out to the beach. And in your case, the city limited parking access to residents only. Now you're partially reversed that decision for this weekend. Good Harbor and Wingersheek beaches, parking is open to non-residents with limited capacity. How are you thinking about that? What's the thinking you're having to do behind who gets to go to the beach now under this pandemic?
Can I tell you, every year we've done this. It's not a new thing. It's just that we have limited residents also because of the COVID. But every year we set a certain amount of parking spots for residents and certain amount for non-residents. And when the non-residents are full, we stop and we say residents only. So it's a normal thing for us. But this year we had to cut back. The first 2 weeks in June, we cut back even on residents. We just had to make sure that during high tide, we have the plovers at Good Harbor Beach and what it can maintain and how people are respecting one another in the COVID, and we checked it, so we'll open up a little bit. And so the first 2 weeks of June was just for the residents to see how they went. Then we had limited. So we've been doing that since day one, except because of last week, the high tide, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that we could have opened it for not even a two extra cars because of the plovers at Good Harbor Beach, because of what we found previously. We had over 70,000 people. We're a community of 30,000. So it was back-to-back, and there was no beach left to social distance, and there was absolutely it took us 2 days to clean up what we had. So we made that decision.
So let me stop you there, if you don't mind, because that number is breathtaking. So.
Yeah.
What about social distancing? What about mask compliance? How are you thinking about enforcement as the leader of a community with a popular beach?
Okay. And during the Just Residents, we hired rangers now. We have park and beach rangers that we had go around and asking people. We're not forcing people to wear masks, as we know, because the beach and the outside is the lowest risk. But social distance, you know, please. And please do not play games. Do not play your volleyball, your frisbee, and all of that. We're limited that to have respect for one another. And it worked pretty good. And so this week now we have the tide is in our favor. So we're going to open it up. Like I said, weekly I'll look at the tide. And this week we have a very good low tide at the peak, so we'll be able to have access to more beach. And we're going to see how that goes. And we have the rangers already in place. And, you know, at Wingersheek, which is a larger beach, you know, we have, the rangers walking around there doing the terrains. We have, like, the three-wheelers that are out just to check around some of the areas where the boating areas are. We're just, you know, telling people to enjoy it, respect one another, stay a little bit apart. We ask people to wear masks. We have all the signs up, but we're not saying, you know what, you're going to get arrested, here's a ticket, or get off the beach if you don't have it. We cannot do that. We will not do that. We want people to enjoy, especially little kids in the water. You know, you'll go through masks, the sand, and everything else. So we're not that hateful. We're trying to protect ourselves. I'm trying to protect everyone. So because we were 2 weeks with no COVID, and then it went up to 5. So you know what? We know that's going to happen everywhere. It's not just Gloucester. But you know what? We'd like to make sure that, you know what, all our kids join and everyone goes to school in September. We don't want to have Massachusetts, you know, skyrocketing because we don't want to respect one another. And I feel that by doing this and letting people know it's not against you, it's the tide. Follow the tide. And I'll always put it on all the social medias. It'll be on the website. But I tell people, remember, look at the tide. If it's peak high tide, don't even bother coming because I'll have to close the beach. But after that, come on down.
All right. And that is Gloucester Mayor Safatia Romeo Taken. Mayor Taken, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your weather report because it's always right on. So look for the tide, too.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We will.
Bye-bye.
So let's go to the phones for a minute, 1-800-423-8255, to tell us how you're thinking about beaches. And if you've gone, what's your experience been so far this year? We've got Lillian on the line from Cohasset. Lillian, go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you for having me on. So I have been to 3 beaches in the past 2 weeks, and I've had to wait at every single beach that I've been to in line, in our cars, socially distant, just to park. Not to get on the beach, but just to park. And for myself, 3 beaches is the limit. If I can't get in on the 3rd beach, then I'm just going to have to call it quits for the day. So,
Lillian, how long have you waited in your car?
The most I've probably waited is about 45 minutes. No, definitely not longer than an hour. It's definitely okay, you know, it was okay to wait because, you know, we're all in the AC and we're socially distant. We feel safe. And then finally, when you get to the beach, I mean, once you get there and you find a spot where, you know, it's open enough and you set all yourself up, you've got, a couple hours on the beach left. So.
Well, I'm glad you at least would get a couple hours at a time. Thanks for that call, Lillian. And we want to continue to have this conversation. So we have 2 more guests to join us. And listeners, keep calling in with your experiences. Are you going to the beach? Are you concerned that you're not being given access to beaches by communities that maybe are restricting parking or restricting to resident only? What kind of COVID appropriate or inappropriate behavior are you seeing on the beach? And how are you reacting to that? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So joining us now is Beth Tytel, a Boston Globe reporter and a friend of the show. Welcome back, Beth.
Delighted to be here.
Also with us is Jennifer Hewer, Managing Director for the Center for Health Policy and Law at Northeastern School of Law. Thanks for joining us, Jennifer.
Thank you. I'm excited to join the conversation.
So, Beth, let's start with you. The beach is supposed to be that fun, carefree experience. Wow, not so much this year. It's complicated.
Oh, so true. I love what Lillian was talking about, waiting for the beach. It made me realize that the beach is kind of like the new RMV. Like, how long are you going to have to wait just to get this little thing? I thought you put the question, so you framed it in such an interesting way, Tiziana, when you were saying who gets to go to the beach. The pandemic, of course, is just putting a magnifying glass on privilege and the haves and the have-nots. So on one hand, we're told you can't visit friends inside, you've got to get outside. On the other hand, it's really hard. You realize there's only a limited amount of outdoor space that where people want to hang out. And so people who don't have cars, it's harder to get to the beach. People don't live in one of those towns. When you think about what the pressures of the beach used to be, like, oh, you've got to make sure the sunblock's on the kids, or like fighting off the kids' request to go to the snack bar. That just makes it look like nothing. Like, that was a quote day at the beach compared to what we're doing now. Like, oh my God, this wave is bringing somebody really close to me. It's definitely up the pressure of the beach. I will say, I just read a great word before coming on your show. There's something new called a trikini, which is 2-piece bikini with a matching face mask.
Oh, there's some serious fashion going on there. I'll have to check that out. So Jennifer, there's a lot in what Beth just said. I could turn that into like 6 or 7 different questions for you, but let me let you cherry pick the 1 or 2 things that Beth was just talking about and invite you to react, and then we'll go to the phones.
Sure. I think Beth brings up a really great point about the haves and the have-nots. And when we're thinking about restricting or limiting access to something, which, as even Mayor Taken pointed out, happens frequently anyway, even in a non-pandemic environment, but even more so during a pandemic, to what extent do we want to exacerbate who doesn't have access to something? And those are real considerations that a lot of managers and leaders and decision makers are thinking about when doing something like limiting beach access. And so even though, you know, the conversation is around limiting non-residents, I have definitely seen some evidence that there's also limiting of residents, just limiting of people in general, but not just limiting access, also limiting what you can do on the beach, right? And so Mayor Taken pointed out, and Governor Baker has made comments about this, is a lot of contact activities are supposed to be limited and excluded from the beaches. So no playing frisbee, no burying each other in the sand and playing volleyball, that type of thing. Some restrooms are still limiting access, right? Which might impact a person's ability to travel to the beach if they don't have the ability to go home really quickly or to use facilities someplace else, things like that. So these are real considerations that I think decision makers are considering and thinking about. And it's not an easy decision, but there's a lot of factors that go into making a decision about when is the right moment to, and for what reasons you might want to limit access to public space like a beach.
So let's go to the phones, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. We've got Bob on the line from Gloucester. Bob, your mayor was on a minute ago. Go ahead, Bob. What's on your mind?
Well, great. Well, you know, residents really do welcome non-residents. We're excited to see them, families, and just having a lot of fun. I think one of the things that non-residents may need to be a little bit more in tune with is things such as trash and just, you know, leaving the beach the way they found it. 2 weekends ago, it was really terrible at Wingersheek and at Good Harbor. And I think if there's just a little bit more cooperation there, I think we'll also find that the relationships between residents and non-residents will even improve more.
Bob, thanks for that call. Beth, this is another element of beach behavior. I mean, we're talking a lot this year about the pandemic and things like masks and social distancing. But what about the other dimensions of beach behavior? Who owns the beach? Are you a visitor or not a visitor? You know, how do you respect the environment that you're in so you can come back to it again? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, you know, that's such a good point. Right. The thing about the pandemic, it layers more problems on top of existing problems. So you already had people leaving trash on the beach or parking where they shouldn't be or those types of problems. And now you layer around the health concerns and the fact that more people want to go. And then the stress, it puts more pressure on everybody. I think one thing that we're all seeing that's fascinating are these photos of people are calling it beach shaming, like mm-hmm. the pictures that will go viral of Miami Beach, or just the other day, of course, the picture from M Street Beach in South Boston. And people say, oh, well, they're outdoors and, you know, the risk is lower. And of course, the Globe had some pictures, I think, that were pretty significant. And one of the Globe reporters included a quote from a Northeastern University epidemiologist who said that he thought it was concerning that people were not taking the distancing or mask requirements seriously, even at the beaches, because he was saying that even though, you know, experts strongly suspect that the risk of transmission is lower outdoors, clusters of cases have emerged from crowded beaches and lakes. So, and he said there's a very high chance that someone with COVID-19 shows up at the beach. So I think those shaming, go ahead.
Well, so the shaming is an interesting point, Beth. We happen to have a couple of calls that are so on point to what you're saying that I just want to jump to the phones for just a minute. 800-423-8255. First, we've got Jeremy and Truro. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Bob, thank you for telling people to pick up their trash. That's a great idea. Out in Truro, the beaches are pretty darn clean because people respect them out there, and the beaches are really not that crowded. So honestly, I haven't changed a thing that I do. I just go down to the beach as if the rest of the world is going crazy and everything's peaceful out there. It's not.
So, Jeremy, if it were super crowded, would you change your behavior then? Well, I think I might have lost Jeremy there. All right. Well, thanks for that call, Jeremy. Yeah, thank you for that call, Jeremy. Let's add one. Let's add Al Marinda, who's calling from Marlboro. Go ahead, Al Marinda.
Hi. Just want to share on Sunday. I usually go to the beach. I leave my house around 3 because I like going to the beach after 3 o'clock. And I went to the cave, to Old Silver Beach. The place was packed. I had to find a little corner for myself, and I thought by that time everybody would be gone, but it was packed, and they closed the parking lot to half, What bothered me is I had my mask on and I found a little corner away from everybody. And then people are just not really, I noticed they don't really think about what's going on. They were playing frisbee, they were playing ball. The people were really not, you know, conscious about where they were space-wise.
Elmerinda, thank you so much. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make sure I've got time to go back to our guests to respond to these two calls. So thanks for calling in and sharing your sort of, after 3 o'clock, I'm thinking it ought to not be so crowded, but it still is, and people are just not observing the norms. So, Jennifer, I want to come back to you, and I want to kind of blend this combination of shaming that Beth was talking about before those two calls with this idea that what is safe? We are told to be outside. Jeremy says, hey, there aren't a lot of people around. I'm feeling pretty good about not changing my beach behavior at all. But Elmerinda's mm-hmm. saying a lot of people aren't changing their beach behavior and it is making me feel unsafe. So what level do we know about that safety, you know, from a health policy perspective? And how important or bad is the shaming dimension of all of this?
So I think shaming can sometimes prove to be an effective way of educating people, empowering them to change their behavior, right? And I want to emphasize the positive aspect, right? Rather than the calling out people for doing something wrong, we can shift the message and say, ooh, maybe there's a better way to do something, right? Like crowded beaches, not super great, but how can we change our behavior even if the beach does get crowded? Or can we prevent the crowding? And so, you know, that brings the question of what is safe. So the Commonwealth actually has issued guidelines, and they're aligned very well with guidelines that we're supposed to be following anyway, right? As we've all mentioned, wear a mask, try to keep 6 feet apart. But here's what's tricky for beaches. They actually recommend staying 12 feet apart when you're toweling and blanketing, especially if you're toweling and blanketing in groups. And that's, I think, a point that a lot of people aren't catching on to, because I too have seen pictures and I think to myself, ooh, I don't know if that's 12 feet apart, but I bet that's probably because somebody doesn't know. So signage is going to be really important. Continuing to have conversations like this and educating the public about what's the right thing to do and when the right thing to do, you know, making sure you take your trash with you. A lot of beaches and public places have limited or completely removed trash receptacles. So it's not appropriate to just toss your mask or your hand wipes on the ground. And you know, having
so Jennifer, I'm actually going to stop you there because I'm going to have one more question for you. We're tight on time and I want to get one more question back to Beth before I come back to you. So I apologize for that. Beth, you've been a bit of a cultural anthropologist over the last few months in your mm-hmm. writing about how we are as a human community here in the greater Boston area handling these mandates around COVID. Did anything surprise you about what we're seeing in beaches, or is this pretty consistent with the tensions we've been seeing all along? If you could do that in a minute or so, that'd be great.
Okay, let me be fast. I was thinking that it seems to me that the grocery stores are doing it pretty well. They've set expectations that you're not going to be able to go in if it's too crowded. And I think that's allowed people to feel safe when they're grocery shopping. There's fewer lines outside, maybe because people aren't doing as much panic shopping. And I'm wondering if something similar could happen at beaches. The problem is when you leave it up to the individual, people either don't know that they're supposed to be 12 feet away, or you get carried away, or they don't care. And I know towns are limiting beaches and people are getting upset, but I'm wondering if there's some way the messaging would be like, you only get a few hours at the beach. I don't have a great answer, but I think that it's probably not surprising what's happening at the beach because everybody needs to get outside. But I wonder if there's a better way to make to sort of guide people to the right behaviors so people can enjoy themselves and also feel safe.
Mm-hmm. And Jennifer, in our last half a minute or so, picking up on something one of our callers wanted to ask, but we didn't get time. Can local municipalities that own, quote unquote, their beaches close them to people who are not local residents?
Yes, they can. Massachusetts law and common law allow for that. And beaches regularly close to non-residents and residents. There are still some beaches that remain closed to non-residents because they are so small that crowding and public health and public safety issues have made it such that decision makers have said, this is the best thing for us right now. Beaches may close after certain hours or on certain days, or even recently Beverly Beach closed because there was too much traffic and too much congestion. So it is absolutely allowed in Massachusetts, and people do it when appropriate.
All right, that's Jennifer Heuer, Managing Director for the Center for Health Policy and Law at Northeastern School of Law, and Beth Titel, Boston Globe reporter. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you. Stay safe.